907-1320-KLWN. It is now time for the Lawrence Business Magazine Show, and here is your host, Anne Frame Herzog.
Thank you, John. Welcome to the Lawrence Business Magazine, where we have in-depth conversations to follow up on articles and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today, I'm pleased to have Joe Monaco. He's the Assistant Director of Communications at KU. Thanks for joining us today, Joe.
Thanks, Anne. Good morning.
Well, Joe, there's a lot going on up at KU, but I want to talk a little bit about you first of all. How did you get to Lawrence and KU? What's your background?
Sure. I'm a New Yorker by birth and actually came to KU for graduate school about 10 years ago.
Okay.
Spent some time with the Kansas Department of Commerce in Topeka and then was fortunate enough to join KU about 2 years ago.
Oh, that's great. So, so you were here after the new chancellor or right around the same time?
That's right, after the new chancellor.
Very cool. Now, you've had, the New York experience, my husband's a New Yorker, so.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So coming here from New York, have you gotten over the kind of crisis of, you know, why am I in the middle of this?
Oh, you know, it was never really a crisis. It was an adjustment period for a couple of weeks, and Kansas is great.
It is great. But it's definitely, you know, as my husband says, he misses the ocean most of all.
So. Oh, sure.
But we get out to visit it. But now, what I wanted to talk to you about is let's talk about this summer because every issue of the Lawrence Business Magazine, we've kind of had the business on the Hill. It's been a section we've had in the magazine. We've covered a lot of different businesses happening on the Hill, but we're going to go through those things and kind of bring us up to date on some of these things, but. What's happened this summer? There's been a lot going on.
Sure, and I think I can speak for a lot of my colleagues in saying this is honestly my favorite time of the year because there's a certain energy and a buzz in August and September that comes from having thousands of super talented students and faculty and staff coming back to Lawrence.
Yeah, it does change the whole kind of energy feel.
Oh, it sure does. It sure does. But honestly, this entire summer has been really exciting for KU. As you know, in July, we achieved National Cancer Institute designation for the University of Kansas Cancer Center, which is going to deliver.
That's huge. Now, they've been working on that for a while, too. Right?
Sure, absolutely. That's been a years-long effort by KU and a variety of economic development organizations and leaders in the area. And that designation is going to deliver tremendous benefits to patients and have enormous economic benefits for the Kansas City region and for Northeast Kansas in general. So that's obviously an outstanding designation for the university. This summer, we met with Jayhawks all over the country. The KU Alumni Association held 120 events nationwide.
Wow.
And then, of course,
keep it busy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then, of course, you know, for me, one of the neatest parts of the summer, frankly, was watching Diamond Dixon become the first female KU track and field student athlete to win a gold medal at the Olympics. That was just super cool and super fun to watch her on. NBC this summer.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it was a great summer for KU.
She's fun to watch run, and she's got such a joy when she runs.
Oh,
she's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. So we're at the beginning of a new school year now, and we're continuing to work hard to ensure KU is recognized as a top-tier public international research university. We welcomed nearly 50 new faculty members to the Lawrence campus this semester and 92 new medical center colleagues. And, of course, we're also welcoming thousands of new Jayhawk students to campus.
Now, when you say the 92 new colleagues at the medical center, mm-hmm. Now, is that part of this, is that just across the board, or is that some of that because of the new cancer designation, or is that just because of the turnover?
I think that's just...
That's just kind of normal to have
sure.
The new people come and go. And
sure, so, we're continuing to try to build and expand our programs there. And we're really excited for this year's freshmen because we have a variety of new programs that we're initiating this year, first-year experiences and a KU core curriculum that we've designed to really help freshmen and all of our students succeed. So we're really excited about that.
That's great.
Yeah. And, you know, and this week has actually been a bit of a whirlwind for me and some of my colleagues at KU. We were at the State Fair yesterday. Every year we have a KU booth at the State Fair,
okay.
Which is honestly just a fun opportunity to get out and talk to people and hand out a lot of free KU stuff. And really, it's a great opportunity to get feedback from folks across the state, mm-hmm. Which we don't always have a chance to do. So I found that incredibly helpful. You hear a lot of mm-hmm. Good insights from people around the state about KU. Some of those folks observing what KU is doing right, what they're doing wrong. Some of those folks talking about their mm-hmm. kids and grandkids' experiences and more. Sure. And so it was really fun. This year was actually really, really exciting because we got to talk about our new 4-year renewable scholarships, which have become very popular around the state.
Yeah, that is, and that's a great outreach program to really try to get a lot of new students, making sure that college is affordable for students. I remember the chancellor saying this; she didn't want students that could go to college not to be able to go to college because of financial reasons. Kids that are
right,
they're going to become future business leaders, country leaders, and not be able to go to college because we couldn't afford it.
Right. That's exactly right. And so KU has two new initiatives that go together to really make KU an attractive option for high school students. Last year, we enacted a 4-year tuition compact, which essentially means students are guaranteed that their tuition will not increase during their 4 years here at KU. So that makes the cost of going to KU and earning a degree predictable up front for students and families. So that's very exciting. And then this year we were able to launch our new renewable scholarships for 4-year renewable scholarships for freshmen and 2-year scholarships for transfer students. And what that does is that allows a student to look at his or her ACT score and high school GPA, and that they know then what scholarships they qualify for before they even apply to KU.
Okay.
So based on high school performance, they know what scholarships they're eligible for.
Now, are those national scholarships or those state-oriented scholarships?
There's a range of different options in state, out of state.
Okay.
And I would encourage folks to go to affordability.ku.edu to check out the different options. But the take-home message here is that a student, a high school student or a transfer student, can know based on their previous performance what they're eligible for mm-hmm. in terms of a scholarship at KU. So you couple that with the 4-year tuition compact, and all of a sudden it is very easy for a student to know what it will cost to get a degree at KU before they...
Something you can really actually plan for instead
yeah.
of like, oh, I think it's going to cost this.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I'll tell you from my own experience, when I was an undergrad, tuition did go up during my 4 years at school, and it wasn't at KU. But so this type of predictability, I think, is really, really crucial for students and families that are trying to plan.
Definitely. Well, I have a brother that has five kids.
Oh, goodness.
They're going to be starting school next year. So I think this is the sort of plan that they definitely are looking into as their kids start to go off to college so they can actually, again, know what they're dealing with.
Yeah, so and a family like that would absolutely benefit from initiatives like this. And, you know, we're just trying to remind people. A lot of folks will probably notice an increase in marketing activity from KU this fall and winter. We're just trying to let people know we have more scholarships than any other school in the state. And
I've actually seen some of the ads they've been mm-hmm. running on when I was watching our football games last
week. Yeah, sure.
With the new $50 million in scholarship ad they're running, which is talking about that. And
yeah, and it's a lot of money out there, frankly, for good qualified students, and that's who we're hoping to attract to KU.
And I think that in this, you said that almost 14,000 or so students are – it's affected by these scholarships this last year?
I believe in 2010, KU provided a little bit more than $70 million in scholarships and grants to approximately 14,000 students.
Wow.
So
that was 2 years ago.
And honestly, I don't have the newest numbers in front of me, but that gives you a rough idea of where we've been in recent years.
That's
so
great. So really trying to keep it competitive within
sure.
the market. Because when KU, we're competing against, I assume K-State is our biggest competitor in
sure.
state, and then there's other schools outside of this area
right.
that we don't even talk about. But then when you're talking about that with the outreach, going to the state fair and stuff, mm-hmm. that kind of shows a little bit more of an aggressive attitude by KU, it sounds like.
I think that's right. I think there has been some concern from some folks that maybe KU hasn't been as aggressive as we could be in recruiting students from either various parts of the state or out of state or what have you. So I think there's definitely been a concerted effort to go out and really recruit the best students that we can. And we think we have a lot to offer.
That's great.
We have more nationally ranked programs than any other university in the state. Frankly, we think we're just we're a really good option for a lot of students.
Well, I'm a big fan of KU, so I agree. But I also want to talk about too the local economics, and the BTBC has had a lot of changes over
sure.
the last. I mean, it's just growing. They're already talking about the new expansion way ahead of schedule mm-hmm. over there. But we also We lost Matt McClory as leaving the BTBC. He's been setting a lot of things in motion over there. How's that going to affect things?
Sure. You're right. I think without question, folks know that KU benefits Lawrence and the local business community in an enormous way. And for an example, in fiscal year 2011, KU had more than $455 million worth of Lawrence campus payroll. And purchased almost $24 million in local goods and services. So that's an enormous economic impact, of course. But then, as you mentioned, in recent years, we've now been a part of the Bioscience and Technology Business Center, or the BTBC,
right.
at KU. And so that's become an incredible success story for Lawrence. And just as a quick overview for folks who aren't familiar with it, the BTBC began in August 2010 with the opening of the BTBC main facility on West Campus.
Right over there by the new pharmacy building.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Beautiful new building over there on West Campus. And today, here we are today, just over 2 years since that launched, and the BTBC system now comprises four buildings, three
right.
of them here in Lawrence, and one beautiful building at the KU Medical Center out in Kansas City. And we house 24 tenants. So 24 tenants in 24 months is the number Matt McClory likes to talk about, because most people can do the math and figure out that's a company a month. So 24 tenants in just over 2 years, and that makes us the largest incubator network in Kansas and one of the largest in the Midwest as far as we can tell. And so it's really a great success story for the region. The BTBC system provides tenants with state-of-the-art facilities, as well as business support services and capital raising assistance and general consulting. And we have a great variety of companies there in that system now. We have a nice blend of frankly, household name companies,
right.
And then local mid-sized growth companies, and then KU startups.
So real diversity, because when we were talking with Matt a few weeks ago, actually, mm-hmm. we were talking about just the how the BTBC, how it's grown, and then also these companies working together, you have your small company, your startup, your
right.
bigger companies, just being in a facility that's all about supporting and nurturing and growing these companies is really healthy in it, how they work with, hopefully keeping these businesses in the community as they grow and
right.
become really strong business community members.
That's exactly right. A lot of these companies, frankly, they have options. They can go to a lot of different places and
yeah.
succeed. And so it says a lot about Lawrence and KU that they want to be here.
That is right, yeah.
yeah.
And their association with the university has been is such a nice association, and they've been able to have access to facilities, those great minds,
yeah.
everything up there. Well, we're going to take a break and come back and talk a little bit about all the strategic partnerships and things that you have going on at KU in just a minute.
Lawrence Business Magazine show will continue right here on 1320 KLWN. 925, 1320 KLWN. Let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show once again, and Frame Herzog.
Thank you. I'm here with Joe Monaco, Assistant Director of Communications at KU. Before the break, we were talking about the BTBC. And its kind of effects and affects on KU and how they work together. There's been a lot of growth with 24 companies now.
Right.
Let's talk about a few of these companies and who they are and their kind of relationship.
Sure. And as we mentioned a moment ago, I think one of the the goals of the BTBC, and it's a goal that's been achieved, frankly, is the BTBC has sought out to attract a nice blend of companies, and a blend meaning small, mid-sized growth type companies, larger companies, including a couple of Fortune 500 companies, and then KU spin-outs, brand new companies that spin out from KU and from KU Medical Center. And you look down the list of companies, and we won't hit all of them here today, but just a great diversity of companies. You have companies like Crititech. A lot of people are familiar with Crititech. That's a KU startup, drug development company. Mencuro Therapeutics, another startup company that has ties to KU. And then you have larger companies like Ligand Pharmaceuticals, based out of California, that created or opted to open an office here to have ties with KU. And then companies like ADM, Archer Daniels Midland, one of the top two or three ag commodities companies in the world that recently set up an office here as well. So really great blend of companies.
Now, I want to ask, when those companies, and you may not have the answer to this, but when the companies come here, are they generally bringing new people in, or are they hiring from within this community, or is it a combination?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. Last time I checked the numbers, I believe there's 105 employees total for those 24 companies.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's a combination of both. But, I can run off, or I can think of anecdotally a lot of these
right.
companies that have hired KU researchers or are staffed by KU researchers.
And Crititech, actually, that started there. Now, they've actually kind of spun out, and they've been growing a lot. They're one of those ones that are hiring more people because they
sure.
really are. They're going into clinical trials.
That's right. They have a drug in clinical trials right now. I believe they're coming
exciting.
To the end of that. Right. So Crititech, definitely a great success story for KU as a spin-out, but then also for the BTBC, with Crititech being one of its tenants, and then, of course, on its own, Crititech,
right.
just a great story for them.
And the economic impact of these companies, I think. Let's talk a little about that. When these companies come, a lot of them are saying they start small, but then they start to grow, and the desire here is to keep these companies in the community, right?
That's exactly right. Sure, when a new company decides to set up here or move here from another location, that frankly means jobs and research dollars and economic development, and these type of companies are often going to be high paying jobs, so it's great to have these type of jobs here in the community.
To me, it seems like, and then this is something too, it seems like the university has kind of had a shift in how they've been doing these things, and you've had maybe hired Julie Gunwarding.
You got it.
Oh.
Yep. First shot.
You know? What is her title?
She is
the Vice Chancellor.
Right, for entrepreneurship and innovation.
And that's
right.
just, in itself, that title is just something that the university's never had.
Yeah,
before,
that's
right?
exactly it's, right. It's a brand new title. The mission of a publicly funded research university like KU is always evolving. And for a variety of reasons, here at KU, it's evolving to include a heightened focus on economic development. KU is being asked to get better at commercializing research and at transforming discovery into marketplace solutions that impact our lives as consumers or as patients.
Uh-huh.
And so we're being asked to create more startups, to license more technologies, and to translate our research into life-changing products and cures. And this is a new focus for universities around the country, not just KU, but we're taking it very, very seriously here. It's a new reality. It's a new responsibility for us. And I think one of the reasons it's so exciting to be at KU today is that the university has embraced this responsibility and committed itself to research commercialization in an unprecedented way. And we talked a little bit about the BTBC, but there's other great examples of how we're doing this, which we can talk about in a minute. But something that I think a lot of people would find interesting is that research commercialization is now among the highest priorities at KU. It's being integrated into virtually everything we do, and it's embedded in our strategic plan, Bold Aspirations, which a lot of your listeners have probably heard KU talk about.
Yeah, now when you're talking about this mind shift too, because it seems like, because when you talk about KU when I was in school a few years ago, there was you're going there, you're getting an education, there's research going on, but it always felt very academic in its focus, you know, which I know it hasn't lost that academic approach at all, but this seems so different, like really trying to make sure that as, I guess, the economy and the world's changing, that these students and this involvement with these technologies, that people are, how do you apply these things? It's kind of, how do you monetize and become not only just have the knowledge, but apply your knowledge?
Sure. Universities have a very diverse mission. At KU, we talk about our mission is to educate tomorrow's leaders, but it's also to create healthy communities here in Kansas and around the world, and then to conduct mm-hmm. research that changes the world. And so, you know, when we talk about research commercialization and technology transfer and economic development, we're talking primarily about those latter two components of the mission. You know, at KU, for the first time now, both the number of startup companies we create and the amount of technology that we bring to market are now formal metrics for how we will judge ourselves and how we're going to be judged by the Board of Regents. And as the Chancellor has mentioned many times, this is simultaneously exciting and terrifying that yeah. we've announced, hey, these are metrics by which we will judge ourselves. But it's a clear indication of how serious we are about commercialization at KU right now.
Now those metrics are who set these up? Is this something that you've done internally? Is this something you've done with the regents?
Sure. Well, you mentioned Julie Goon-Wardine. Okay. KU's made a number of outstanding hires in the last few years, but three I'd mention today. Julie Goon-Wardine came on about a year and a half ago as our Vice Chancellor for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. She comes from Purdue, where she was one of the most respected entrepreneurship and innovation leaders in the country. We also were able to bring to Lawrence Julie Nagel, who is our Director of Strategic Partnerships. And depending upon traffic and weather, she might join us here in a few minutes. And then Rajiv Kulkarni, who joined us recently to head the KU, the KU CTC. So I suspect many of your listeners here in the business community know these names and have worked with these individuals. So just by bringing those three individuals to mm-hmm. KU, folks around the country who know university, economic development, and entrepreneurship, that's an incredible signal of the direction that KU is headed.
It is, and it's a different I mean, that's also a new title. Julie Nagel's her Director of Industrial Partnerships. That, again, is that's a whole new position, right? We're not filling something that is creating a new dynamic.
That's exactly right. And the title says it all. She's the Director of Industrial and Strategic Partnerships. She her primary responsibility is to help KU and all the different researchers mm-hmm. Here at KU find ways to partner with businesses and to consolidate those relationships in a way that we can all take advantage of those partnerships. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard for some people outside the university to understand, but universities are big. there's a lot of researchers who are doing research uh-huh. In very different areas, and unfortunately, sometimes those ships don't cross in the night.
Right.
And so Julie's done a great job of letting researchers in one department know that, hey, you know, there's a researcher in another department who has an established relationship with this company. Let's all get together and find ways to work together with this company. Julie has created this new strategic partners program.
Okay.
And she's had a lot of success. In fact, the reason she couldn't join us this morning, I believe she had an 8 a.m. meeting with a Fortune 500 company that I probably won't name on the air, but she couldn't get out of that meeting in time. You know, the type of things that result from a business partnership, sure, mm-hmm. there's research collaboration, and that's probably the big one and the one that a lot of people understand.
Right.
But a lot of companies want to work with KU to do sponsored research.
Okay.
They want to work with KU on technology licensing. They want to recruit and hire students. That's one a lot of people forget about. A lot of companies establish partnerships with KU because, mm-hmm. frankly, they want to develop a pipeline to our incredibly talented students. They want to get a foot in the door and get our best students thinking, hey, I can work for that company when I'm done here at KU.
That's one of the things that I noticed, too. They talk about with students getting jobs in the future, that internships have changed. So many of the jobs that students and graduates get come out of internships with programs.
That's exactly right. And two of the companies that are BTBC tenants, Garmin, for example, who's one of our older tenants, they've been here almost since the beginning. They came here specifically, to set up an internship program with KU. So they've had KU interns working for them from the start. And their goal was to siphon off and to identify and to pick out and siphon off some of our best students, and to bring them along when they graduate. Another company that's done the exact same thing is Assurant. Assurant does information technology services, as many of your listeners will know, and they're collaborating with the School of Engineering. And when they first announced they were coming here, their management was made no bones about it. They said, we're here because we want to tap that pipeline of talented engineering school students. So I think you see a lot of that.
So are they doing – so when they are tapping this pipeline, I mean, they're not just setting up a recruiting office. They're actually setting up, though, a functioning – they're doing work here and getting the students involved in that work.
Sure. They have student interns working for them on projects, and that allows the company to identify high-performing students and hire them when they're done here at KU. And now you have a young, talented student who doesn't need initiation or orientation to your company. He's ready. He or she is ready to go on day one. So it really benefits both the company and the university. And then the other benefit of strategic partnerships that some people forget are continuing education opportunities. A lot of companies want to partner with a university like KU because KU can provide continuing education support to employees. And then, of course, philanthropic support as well.
Well, that's great. We're going to come back and talk some more with Joe Monaco from KU after this break.
And this is the Lawrence Business Magazine Show on 1320 KLWN. 942, 1320 KLWN. Let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine Show. Once again, here's Ann Frame Herzog.
Thanks. I'm here with Joe Monaco, Assistant Director of Communications at KU. And I just want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at our local Hy-Vees, the Merck, the Chamber of Commerce office, and other convenient merchants around town. It is also available online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. Online, you can find out who our guests will be on the radio show, and you can submit questions and comments for our guests at questions@lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. Like us on Facebook, where you can also find out updates and information on the radio show and magazine. We love to get your comments and questions, but in our effort to maintain and encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. So I'm here with Joe, and we just were talking about all these strategic partnerships, and there's a lot of just one of the other areas. You have a new area that's up there. Tell us about this area. We talked about this in the break, so let's talk about the CDR, right?
Sure. This is frankly one of my favorite topics to talk about because I just think it is fun and cool and neat. It's also great for the university and for students. Many of your listeners are probably familiar with the Center for Design Research, which was built out on 15th Street on the old Chamonix site a couple of years ago. It's that really exciting, high-tech looking building with the wind turbine outside. It was built by the students from our Studio 804 program in the School of Architecture, Design, and Planning. But the Center for Design Research, in addition to being that physical structure that you see out there, is a center where faculty and students can come together to work on interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary projects in the area of smart technology and consumer products. The CDR has been especially focused on the areas of distracted driving, automobile safety, and wireless technology that impacts health and wellness of individuals. And the center is managed by Greg Thomas, an outstanding professor of design in the School of Architecture, Design, and Planning. And what the CDR has done under Greg's leadership in the last 6 months is gone out and recruited sponsored research projects with a couple of really big-name companies. And a sponsored research project in general – in this case, means that Greg gets a company to agree to let him and his faculty colleagues and their students here at KU work on a project for that company, a real world project, to develop a solution that that company then might want to incorporate into its business. A couple of months ago, Greg announced a partnership with Bayer Healthcare, in which his colleagues and his students are going to work on Bayer's portable glucose. That's a tough word to say, isn't it? Portable glucose monitor.
Okay.
Bayer has a really cool device called the Contour USB meter, which looks like a standard flash drive, but it allows patients to insert blood strips that announce and actually read an LED display that announces their glucose level.
So for diabetes and things like that.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
right. It's really small, but very small piece.
Right, that's right. And so this is a really popular device on the market. I believe it's depending on how you measure it, it might be the most popular glucose monitor on the market. Mm-hmm. And so Greg and his students and his faculty colleagues are working on improvements to the device and the software that comes with it.
I'm going to ask you. So when they're working on this, Greg's with architecture.
Right, the School of Architecture, Design, and Planning.
Okay, so now are they working with other areas, though? Because that doesn't seem like an architectural piece.
That's right. Well, the School of Architecture, Design, and Planning includes the departments of architecture and design.
Okay.
And then a couple of other departments that have previously been separate. So that's actually one of the beauties of bringing all of those previously separate departments into the school. And one of the beauties of the Center for Design Research is it's supposed to bring together faculty and students who might have previously been a little bit siloed, bring them together to work on interdisciplinary projects. And I'll give you another great example.
Yeah.
Greg has been very involved in in-car technology, and has worked on a number of occasions with Paul Atchley in our psychology department. Dr. Atchley, very much an expert on the cognitive effects and impacts of some in-car technologies.
Okay.
Greg, on the other hand, a designer, so they come together to collaborate on research related to safe driving and in-car technologies. And a great example. Another example of sponsored research related to in-car technology. Just earlier this week, we got to announce that the Center for Design Research is going to be partnering with Ford Motor Company, Ford, to work on interior controls and interior layouts for Ford vehicles. And it's great. And the goal is that some of these student designs might end up inside a Ford vehicle.
That's amazing. Now, when you're saying it's sponsored research development, so Ford comes here, so they are paying the university a fee to work with them as a research company, how does this work monetarily? Bring it with us.
Sure. Sponsored research in general can come with funding, and there are examples of that, of course, throughout the university where it does come with funding. These particular examples at the CDR that we're talking about this morning, I don't think they come with funding, although they could at some point. A lot of these projects are being launched for the first time this fall, and so we'll see how they go in the spring. But, for example, a lot of them come with technology.
So I was going to say that so they have possibly the equipment, the machinery, things that you would need to help perfect these things.
That's exactly right. And, for example, in July – the CDR announced that it would be working with a California-based company called Voice Assist. Voice Assist creates hands-free products for inside the car and a hands-free service. And in that particular case, Voice Assist provided almost 8 or 10 Jabra Freeway speakerphones, which are a really nice high-end speakerphone, and it's a speakerphone that the Voice Assist service operates on.
Okay.
And so the students were provided with that technology
so
to help with their
with
research.
The...
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So a lot of exciting stuff in that area, and if you get a chance to just drop by the building itself, it's just outstanding.
Very cool. No, that is exciting. Now, that's been just going on in the last 6 months this has been happening. Here, so
a lot of these partnerships have been confirmed and announced in the last 6 months. That's right. But the center's been up for almost 2 years, the building itself. That's right.
Now, speaking of buildings, there's another new building going up on campus here for the engineering school, right? Isn't that going up?
Yep, we're going to have a dedication ceremony in just a few weeks for the Measurement Materials and Sustainable Environment Center, or the M2SEC Engineering Building.
Is a lot. That sounds like an engineering.
It
school.
Does. Goodness. Goodness, it does.
So that's where we've seen that huge crane that's been over.
It is a big crane, isn't it?
It's monstrous.
Yeah, it's rerouted a couple of us every morning on our way to work. But we're really excited about that. And that's, you know, a lot of people know that there is just a shortage of engineers, of qualified young engineers in Kansas. There's a huge concentration of engineering companies in the Kansas City area and then down in Wichita as well. That just frankly can't get enough engineers. They can't find enough engineers. So the legislature has asked the School of Engineering at KU to expand its program. They passed funding a couple of years ago to help us do that, and that's what we're doing. So we're not only adding this new building, we'll be adding new students and trying to crank out more qualified students, because if you graduate from the KU School of Engineering, that's a great credential, and there's jobs for those students here in the area.
That's great, and I also, with these associations with these different companies, through the BTBC, mm-hmm. through the CDR, all these different areas, these kids are getting real-world experience,
some of
them, before they get out of school.
Absolutely. They are ready to go on day one, and especially, you know, I don't want to single out any particular school, but goodness, if you come across a School of Engineering student at KU, those are some smart cookies in general.
They are. My nephew's one of those. So.
Oh, well, good.
So also, when we're talking about outreach, you've mm-hmm. also, there's a new program up there trying to do outreach. You're doing outreach through the engineering school, but there's another program that's being talked about, this Red Tire. Tell me about that.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about the Red Tire program, another one of my favorites to talk about. So the University of Kansas School of Business has launched this Red Tire program. It's designed to keep rural businesses open for business. The program is designed to match qualified graduates who want to own a business with business owners who are looking to retire. And the program basically aims to prevent rural businesses from closing because the owner can't find a buyer or a successor. And this is a big deal around the state.
It
especially
is. I'm from a small town in western Kansas, and it's huge.
Sure. Every day in rural communities, businesses close forever, frankly, because an owner retires and can't find someone to take over the business. Uh-huh. And that's a big problem, especially if we're talking about the only grocery in town, the only pharmacy in town, the only healthcare clinic in town. And so the Red Tire program is going to address this issue by matching graduates with business owners and facilitating a succession plan to keep that business running. So in its simplest form, Red Tire is a matchmaking service. Mm-hmm. Our program staff will screen potential replacement managers and the candidate businesses around the mm-hmm. state. And then they're going to try to identify good matches for purchase opportunities. And when I say good matches, you know, we're going to evaluate an individual's personality, not just their business assets, their personality as well, to see who would be a good fit in the community to take over and run a new business. And this is a big deal. Nearly 13,000 business owners plan to retire in the next 5 years. So there's a huge need for this.
Yeah, that's a really exciting program. Now, how are you guys getting this word out to these rural communities too? That's interesting, because, you know, I could see the business school having this, but how are you getting out? You know, because coming from a small town in western Kansas, you know, some of these business owners don't always, you know, keep up to date on things all the time.
Sure.
They're
and
kind of isolated.
You know, we announced this program about a month or so ago, a little more than a month ago. And, you know, frankly, the response was really overwhelming
right from
the start. I think this program is so exciting and so seemingly simple, and simple meaning it's mm-hmm. people look at it and say, yeah, there's a need for that. And so I think that Dean Neely Bendapudi and then Wally Meyer, who's managing the program in the School of Business, I think they've gotten a lot of calls from small businesses right off the bat. I know, just, you know, scanning the newspapers when we first announced it, definitely a lot of coverage. My colleagues in the economic development community, the Department of Commerce, local chambers of commerce and such, have been talking about it, promoting it in their areas of the state. So, you know, really, I think this is going to be a very
yeah, that's good. And I really like it because the having, you know, KU sometimes I think we feel like we get a little isolated where we are, and I think this kind of outreach out into the different communities, showing, letting the people of our state know that we're also part of Kansas and we care about these communities, rural communities
yeah.
as well, is really
yeah.
important.
That's exactly right. We talked a few minutes ago about KU's three-pronged mission to educate leaders, to create healthy, strong communities, and then to conduct research and discovery that changes the world. And it's that second point, creating healthy communities, that this program really addresses. And, you know, KU does so much around the state to help rural communities. There's this red tire program, for example. You know, yesterday I happened to be at the state fair
right.
I mentioned earlier, and we had a chance to demonstrate our new grain engulfment rescue training equipment.
Wow.
And that is essentially a giant 35-foot tractor trailer type piece of equipment in which our Kansas Fire and Rescue Training Institute, which is managed by KU, in which they can train local first responders on grain engulfment rescues. For those of the listeners who don't know.
Yeah. Some of the people here may. I know what you're talking about.
Sure, sure. Grain engulfment, in its simplest form, grain workers sometimes get trapped in grain bins.
Yeah.
And it is virtually impossible to get somebody out without knowing some of the techniques of how to remove somebody from
like,
one of those
it's
bins.
It's like quicksand kind of.
It is exactly, that's yeah. exactly right. It's yeah. exactly like that. So what we're doing with this training equipment is taking that equipment to communities throughout the state who request it, and we are conducting training at no cost for local first responders. And I talked with the program manager yesterday, and that equipment is booked through April. Every weekend through April, that equipment
That's
is booked
great.
In a community around Kansas. So just, I mean, that is just a great example of a service that KU provides for local communities that, you know, some folks don't know about.
Yeah, and something, you know, and to tell you come in contact with that sort of thing, you don't realize how important that sort of
yep.
that sort of thing is. Because growing up in, you know, rural community, in grain, you know, heavy western Kansas, there's a lot of accidents
sure. that
people have, you know. And as we always joke, but farmers are not always, they don't always pay attention to all the safety equipment.
Nope,
they've gotten a lot better than they used to be. They used to just like, what is this? What's this seatbelt for? They used to throw that stuff away. Now they've gotten a lot better realizing that this is for their benefit.
Yeah.
But that is great. This outreach that you guys are doing is wonderful. The CDR, that's an exciting thing. I just have to thank you. This has been a very informative and really interesting hour. It went by really fast.
It was. This is the fastest hour I've had in a week.
Well, our listeners can – well, I don't think you really need a link to the KU site. Most people can probably find that pretty easily.
They should.
But we'll put a couple of these other links that you talked about on our site here underneath the Lord's Business Magazine on the radio show link. And you can go online and see our magazine, lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. You can like us on Facebook for updates. And each Thursday at 9 a.m., we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. You can also find our magazine online and also at the stores at the Merck, the Chamber of Commerce office, and around town. I just want to, again, thank you, Joe, for joining us. This has been really informative. It's really exciting all the things the university is doing. They're really being proactive. I like that.
It is. Thanks, Sam.
And the Lawrence Business Magazine, every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on KLWN 1320, Defining the Concept of Business.